Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During January, we were focusing on Jesus as our prophet, priest, and king. Last week, we focused on Jesus' office of priest. He is both the perfect priest and the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This week, we focus on the fact that Jesus is anointed to be our king. Now, kings have lots of important responsibilities: running the nation, caring for the people, and other ways that they serve their people. But one of the most important roles of a king is a military leader. He's called to organize and lead the army to go out and defeat their enemies, to ensure that there's peace throughout the land. Now, this is what Jesus is doing in Luke 4. He is anointed in the Jordan River as prophet, priest, and king, and immediately he goes out into the wilderness to engage the enemy in battle. But the enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not the Romans or another army. The enemy is the prince of darkness, the prince of this world, the devil himself. So let's talk about our king fighting for us today in Luke chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. First of all, our king, number one, engages in battle. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. It's the job of the king to protect his people, and that's what Jesus intends to do. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And now immediately after his anointing, he goes out to do battle with Satan. The baptism is a public display of who Jesus is, the Christ of God. It was witnessed by John. It was witnessed by the crowds. But make no mistake, the devil took notice of this event as well. He knows a new champion has appeared on the scene to fight for humanity. And the devil wants nothing more than to take him down. So, Jesus is the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world, and he is the Lamb. He is the perfect high priest and the perfect making atonement for the sins of the people, and he is the perfect Lamb, the perfect sacrifice, shedding his blood to save us from sin and death. But Jesus is more than just the Lamb of God. He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah, described in Revelation 5, verse 5. Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. Revelation 5:5. Jesus is the Lion as well as the Lamb. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I think this verse inspired C.S. Lewis to picture Jesus as a huge and powerful lion in the Chronicles of Narnia books. Jesus is the king who comes to conquer. Conquer who? People? No. The Romans? No. The people who don't believe? No. No, Jesus here is here to conquer our enemies, sin, death, and the devil. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah will conquer all three. To us, we mainly think of Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away our sins, and rightfully so. That's how we know him best. That's what he's done for us. But the devil sees the other side of Jesus. To the devil, Jesus is the great and powerful lion who comes to battle him in the wilderness. Not in a physical battle, but in a spiritual battle. And that battle is going to take place on the devil's turf. Number two, our king fights on the devil's turf. Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the Judean wilderness to do battle with the devil. Now, the location is very important because this battle is actually a rematch. It's humanity's second chance against the devil. The first time our representatives, our champions, Adam and Eve, battled against the devil in the Garden of Eden in paradise, and they lost. They had every advantage, but they still lost. And because of that sin, we are all born into a life of pain and sin and suffering and death. Now, this original battle takes place in the Garden of Eden in paradise. The word paradise is a Greek word. It literally means walled garden. That's a beautiful description. You see, we as human beings were created to live in paradise, in a walled garden. And a garden is a place of abundance and order and beauty. And it's walled, which means that it's safe and protected. This is what a really great garden looks like. This is Butchered Gardens in Vancouver. Notice the sense of peace and serenity you get just from looking at it. just from thinking you would be there. It's beautiful. It's well ordered. It's safe. There's no dangerous animals in there. It's the kind of place we as humans naturally want to be. We're made to live in a garden where there's plenty of food and everything is safe. But Jesus doesn't battle the devil in a garden with plenty of food and protection like Adam and Eve had. No, the battle takes place here. This is the Judean wilderness. It's no walled garden. There's nothing but sand and rock as far as you can see. And as far as animals, who knows what kind of dangerous animals might be there, or poisonous snakes might be lurking around along those pathways there in the Judean Valley. It's a harsh, desolate, unbearably hot, and dangerous place. It's not a place where human beings want to be for very long. Notice what's not there. No Wendy's, no McDonald's, no Burger King. I don't even think Pizza Hut delivers there. You see, the devil has Jesus right where he wants him. It's his turf. It's his home field. This is a place where there's nothing but danger and chaos and death. All the things the devil loves and can use to his advantage. And he will. He has every advantage here. And Jesus is there alone. Of course, the Father is with him and the Holy Spirit is there leading. He's the one who led Jesus out there. But humanly speaking, there is no one else. He's on his own. No family, no friends, nobody to help him, no one to give him any comfort. He is alone and vulnerable. On top of that, he has not eaten for 40 days. He is hungry, as the scriptures tell us. Jesus is completely, as vulnerable as he'll ever be. But this is exactly where Jesus chooses to meet his enemy, on the devil's home turf. It's almost as if he's telling the devil, go ahead, take your best shot. And the devil is going to do that, just that. He's going to take his best shot at Jesus. In fact, he's going to take his best three shots at Jesus. Number three, Jesus endures the worst attacks of the enemy. Luke 4, verse 2, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus spends 40 days in the wilderness and he's fasting. So he is alone, he is hungry, he's in the middle of the desert. The devil has every advantage and attacks Jesus with everything he has. Matthew and Luke mentioned three particular temptations, but Jesus was out there for 40 days. I think we can assume he was tempted every day with many different temptations, just like you and I are tempted every day. The difference is that we daily give in to temptation. Sometimes we can't even endure temptation for 40 minutes. Jesus endured it without food, without help from others, for 40 days straight. Every advantage the devil has, he uses it against Jesus. He starts with food. He's going to hit Jesus where it hurts most. He's hungry, and the devil's going to take advantage of that. Remember, the devil doesn't play fair. He has no mercy in him. He will hit Jesus and us. Well, he will hit us the same way he tempted Jesus, wherever our weakest point would happen to be. Thankfully, Jesus doesn't have any weak points. First, the devil offers him food, using his appetite against him. When that doesn't work, he offers him riches and power. I could make you rich and powerful. All the kingdoms of the world would be yours. Just bow down and worship me. Jesus says no to the offer. Finally, the devil twists scriptures around to use against him, taking advantage of Psalm 91. Some people think the devil hasn't read the Bible. Trust me, he knows it better than any of us do. But he doesn't know it better than Jesus. Jesus sees right through all of the devil's temptations and all of the devil's lies. And he says no, no, no to each one. He completely defeats the devil in every possible way. And how he does that is really important for us to understand, which is my last point. Number four, Jesus defeats the devil with the word of God. Jesus answered, "It is written." Luke 4, verse 4. Jesus could have defeated the devil with his own divine, almighty power. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's God the Son, and therefore could have just blasted the devil into a billion atoms. But he doesn't rely on his divine power to defeat the devil. Instead, he completely relies on God's word to defeat the devil. Why? Because he's showing us how to defeat the devil. We don't have access to divine power, but we do have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible. Every time the devil tempted Jesus, Jesus replied the same way, "It is written," or "Here's what God's Word says," which is exactly what Adam and Eve should have done, but they abandoned God's Word for the lies of the devil. Jesus fully relies and fully trusts the Word of God, the Bible. He quotes passage after passage, and the Bible and the devil doesn't have an answer for that. Finally, after 40 days, the devil retreats. He runs away until a more opportune time. But the example has been set for us. What Jesus did, we should do as well. Don't listen to the devil. Don't argue with the devil. Don't try to resist with your own willpower. Rely on God's Word. God's Word has the answer for every temptation. From our appetites to powers and riches to twisting the Scriptures, whenever we face those things, God's Word is what we need. That's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. Adam and Eve, our first champions, failed against the temptations of the devil. But now a new champion comes to fight for the human race. Who is this? Ask ye who this is. Jesus Christ it is. And where Adam and Eve failed, Jesus is victorious. This is the first face-to-face skirmish between Jesus and the devil, but it's not going to be the last one. Jesus would take on the devil wherever he goes, preaching God's word, forgiving sinners, and literally casting out demons. Wherever Jesus goes, he wins victory over the devil. He wins victory after victory against the prince of darkness. From victory unto victory, he shall lead. Until he wins the ultimate victory through his death and resurrection. Jesus is the valiant one who wins the victory on our behalf. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.